But let me ask you some questions, okay?
Yes.
Do you believe that God really exists?
Yeah.
Do you believe, really believe, that he's a Trinity? That Jesus Christ is both God and man right now?
Yeah.
And that he died on the cross, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you really believe that?
Yeah.
Okay, do you really believe that he rose from the dead physically?
Well...
Do you?
Well, I do. After seeing all the evidence, I certainly think it's the best explanation for everything.
No problem there. Didn't Jesus come to Thomas? And Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I see and touch. And Jesus comes to him and says, see the holes? Now make a choice. Believe. You ever walk through a desert?
Probably not.
Paul went through a desert. Moses went through a desert. Jesus went through a desert. And when you come out, you've got absolutely nothing left except, do you really believe all of it or not? Do you really trust in what Jesus says or not? I said unto yes, for it comes down to no. Wake the neighbors,
get the word out. Hey everybody, how are you doing? Faith and Reason time. It is August 22nd, 2011. How are you all doing out there? I hope you all had a great weekend. I did. Hey, I got some stuff to talk about, homosexuality and pedophilia. I got some articles, gone through some stuff here, right here in my hand. I'll be talking about that. If you want to call, whatever you want to talk about is open. Hey, just dial 877-207-2276. And if you want to get in via Skype, just type in Faith and Reason with no spaces in Skype, and you can get in that way as well. Now, I will be out of the studio Thursday and Friday, so we'll just be doing reruns Thursday and Friday. I'm going to be going to New York. I've got to speak at a conference on reaching China via the internet. A lot of Chinese people there. I think I'll be the only Caucasian dude. I don't know. We'll see, whatever. Doesn't make a difference. And they're all great folks. They love the Lord. And so I've been working on, they have me speaking 7 times in 2 days. I'm really busting my hiney trying to get things going and get everything in place. I will not be able to put together everything I need to because I just don't have the time running everything else I'm doing. So anyway, I'll be out of the studio Thursday and Friday. And let's see, what else is I going to say something? Oh, I should be, Lord willing, in Southern California, the end of the last week or two of September. It's still open. I'm going to be going to Living Waters, the Ray Comfort ministry down there. I'm going to be going with a friend of mine who works with CARM, and we're going to be spending 2 days down there at their headquarters. They're going to show us around. They're going to teach us. They're going to do stuff. We're going to see what we can do with them as well. They're a great group, and they love what I do or what CARM stands for and stuff like that. So the reason I'm saying that is because I'll be out, you know, maybe a whole week because I'm thinking about going down there a few days early, come back a few days late and staying. And if anybody out there down in the area is hearing a podcast later, you want me to come to your church and speak, you know, last week or two. I mean, it's still up in the air what days. I don't know what days we're going to be down there. But if that sounds like, you know, you might like that, let me know. I can gladly drive around and do that. Come in Northern California, I'll go there. Derek, in the chat room, all you got to do is set up a speaking engagement, and I can fly to Sacramento, Bay Area, anytime. No biggie. I'll do it. I like speaking. You know, most people are like afraid of public speaking. My wife is petrified of it. She won't even get on the radio. I thought basically blackmail her, twist her arm, things like that, just to get her on the radio. She does great. She has a great radio voice, and her information's great. She's great at child rearing stuff. And, but, you know, she's terrified of it. And she does great. Me, I love it. The bigger the crowd, the better. Doesn't bother me at all. I don't know. Maybe that's a mental thing. I don't know. Doesn't bother me. Hey, 877-207-2276. And today is August 22nd, 2011. For the podcasters. I'm going to say this again. If you're, oh, well, you know what? I was going through the finances. Now, CARM's doing okay, but, you know, let me just say this. If you probably noticed there are absolutely no advertisements here on the CARM website. I mean, on the radio show. There's none. We just go straight hour. I mean, how many other shows do you know? They just go straight hour. That's it. And there's no advertisements. You don't have to listen to any advertisements. We go at it, answering questions. If you guys are interested in supporting this radio effort. I'm interested in expanding it. And I'd love it if people were to contact me. If you want to support the radio aspect of it, could you go to the CARM website? Just go to the CARM website, bottom of the page, and just do the contact thing and say, yeah, I'd like to support it financially or even prayerfully. You know, that's fine. I'm not saying, here, I'm going to contact you and I'm going to say this is what you need to do. I just would like to know how many would. And what I'll probably do is put your emails in a folder and then direct you later to, if you do, you know, go here and we'll set something up. I want to know, because basically we've got no support coming in for the radio show. And the reason is because I never promote it. I don't do anything to promote the financial need we have for the show. I think we have $25 a month coming in to support the show. And that's because CARM is picking up the tab. It makes it possible for us to just do this without commercials. If you're interested in continuing that, helping that out, you like what happens on the radio, well, hey, go to the CARM.org website, CARM.org, and just email me and say, you consider supporting. I mean, we're not asking a whole bunch. Whatever you could, $5 a month, 10, 20, 30, I don't know. Doesn't really make any difference. Just curious. All right, now, I got some info in my hand. Now, as you know, I have been warning people about the onslaught against the Christian church. There's the external problem and the internal problem. Yes, I could do a two-hour show, Derek. I could easily do a two-hour show. I like to do a two-hour show, but I want to be on more radio stations. We get callers coming in, and it would be fun. You get bored, you're not listening to me. Okay. So, as I've been saying, you know, the Christian faith is under attack. I mean, the atheists are attacking, the evolutionists, the secularists, the politicians, the movie industry, the radio industry, magazines, newspapers, the internet, attacking Christianity. And if that weren't enough, a lot of Christians from inside are just self-destructing, saying things like, if you believe in using your brain while you're a Christian, that you're somehow in sin. We have Christians assaulting the faith by having women pastors and elders, which is definitely unbiblical. We have people saying homosexuality is another lifestyle. If you want to believe the Word of God, that's your option. Virgin birth, maybe, maybe not. Trinity, if you want to believe it, that's it's okay. You know, just stuff like this. Or how about this one in the Christian church, things like, hey, you know, if you want to just make sure you're right with God, just do good. That's what they say. It's a bad grammar, but they'll say, just keep yourself right with God by doing good things. Don't do bad things. Do good things. Keep yourself right with God so you don't lose your salvation. That's a heresy. Absolute heresy. Here's another one. People don't know it's a heresy, but it is. It's a mild one. I'll just call it that for now. It is totally up to the unbeliever and the ability of his free will to be able to choose God. That is absolutely contradictory to Scripture. Now, there's a lot of things that the Bible teaches that a lot of Christians don't believe in. And this, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this up front. And the reason they do this is because they're liberal. They're liberal. Liberal Christians. They're not believing what the Word of God says. You know, the Trinity, yeah, we can believe it. Yeah, you know, security in Christ, nah. Nah, you can lose it by being bad, not doing enough good. That's false teaching. Yeah, it's up to you. It's up to the unbeliever, whatever he wants. Hey, it's up to his choice. Even though the Bible says, contrary to that, does not depend upon the will of man or the will, upon God who has mercy when it's regarding the salvation issues, not depend upon the man who wills, but not on us. That's what it says, flat out. Romans 9:14 says so. So, you know, people will believe what they want to believe because they want God made in their own image. They want God, as I'm saying, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus who wears a woman's nightgown, and this kind of image of Christ, the one that's so gentle that wouldn't do a thing, wouldn't overturn tables in the temple, wouldn't call people whitewashed sepulchers, wouldn't say, pick up your cross and follow me, as he reaches out to the lost, who says, deny yourself. That kind of Jesus, the one of the Bible, is what we need to be following. Anyway, well, okay, here's some attacks. The Christian church has got to start standing up. the Christian church has got to start saying things. Look at this. This is from the onenewsnow.com. A Florida teacher has been suspended and removed from the classroom in Mount Dora, Florida, for comments made on his Facebook page against homosexual marriage. He posted this stuff on his Facebook page on his personal time using his home computer. So it's away from school, on his personal time, his personal opinion. He's suspended from teaching at the high school. I guess it's a high school. Yeah, a high school. Is that okay? What do you think of that? Is that all right? So someone would get on Facebook and say, I don't think homosexuality is right. I think it's a sin. I think it's an abominable thing. And now you're being suspended from your job because you said that. Yeah, interesting. What if, this is the article makes a great point, what if the teacher had said something negative about Christianity? Said, I think Christianity is bigoted and hateful. Would they have suspended him for that? Of course not. They wouldn't have suspended him for attacking Christianity. They probably would have given him a raise and given more responsibility. But you say, you have your opinion that homosexuality is not right, it's a sin, and not normal, and you cannot be allowed to teach in a secular environment. Now, this is called freedom. It's called freedom of speech for the haters of God. It's called freedom of speech for the bigoted people that they are inside of the secular school environment, who want control of the thoughts, minds, hearts of the children, and they do not want teachers on their own free time to express their God-given rights, constitutional God-given rights. They don't want to have that. And if you speak ill of homosexuality, what they're going to do is hammer you with a politically correct sledgehammer and just make you pay. Yeah, that's freedom. Yeah, that's freedom, isn't it? Yeah, freedom of speech, right? No, not for the Christian. Not for the Christian, folks. What are the Christians doing about this? Well, they should be up in arms. The Christians at that high school should be, you know, the parents, Christian parents, because the seculars, some seculars probably are wise enough to do this, but the Christian parents should be going to that high school and saying, where's the principal? Where's the principal? Let me tell you something. My daughter, my eldest daughter, went to a secular high school a few years ago, and she told me what they were teaching. Values clarification, crap. You know, forget what your mom and dad are teaching about morals, forget what your pastor teaches you. Values clarification, crap. I went down and talked to the principal, and I was waiting for it. He did it exactly. And I said, you know, I have a problem with it. I'm really polite. I have a problem with this. What's going on here? It's not your job to teach morals and to say that my morals aren't right, my parents. And he goes, well, you know, I could understand why you would say that, Mr. Slick. And, you know, we will have to look into this. And he was giving me the standard line, which they're taught to say when a parent comes in and complains. And I said, hey, you know what? That's what you're taught to say. I said, look at me. I am not your average, everyday, little bitty guy who comes in and has a complaint who won't do anything. Buddy, I've got a radio show, and I'll talk about you and mention your name. I've got a website that gets 35,000 page views a day. I've got 30,000 people on a newsletter list. I will mention your name, the name of the school. I will do stuff. I'll come down here again. You understand? I don't want you to do this. You don't have the right to do that. And we're talking lawsuit after that. Don't be giving me this stuff about how I'm, you know, you want to just appease me, say the nice things, and that's how it's going to be. You don't get it. Here's what it is. Don't do it in the classroom. Don't. Not to my kid. The guy, you know, he knew what to say. I was pissed off at him. I said, this is not appropriate for you. You will not be doing this to my child. I don't know how the other children and other parents, but this is my child. And what he arranged was, well, okay, then how about this? If that comes in, then your daughter is free to leave the class. And I said, yeah, without any penalty, right? Without any penalty, you know? Yeah, okay, I'm satisfied with that. Shook him up. See, come on. That's what Christian parents need to be doing, threatening lawsuits. And I did. Hey, you know what? I'll do it. Would I? Yes. Yes, I would have. This, you know, there's a lawsuit going on about this thing here in Florida. The Liberty Counsel attorney representing this guy notes that the 22-year-old plus veteran of teaching is a very popular and successful teacher. Quote, in fact, he was elected as Teacher of the Year last year precisely because he is has an outstanding reputation. Not only for being an excellent teacher, but also for loving each and every student who comes across in his classroom, regardless of the status, student status or lifestyle or orientation. Close quote. That's what the attorney said. The attorney says, it's worth noting that the person who filed the complaint has never been a student at Buell's classroom. The school, check this out. This is idiocy, folks. The school is concerned that homosexual students might feel uncomfortable or somehow threatened in the classes. Oh, we can't make them feel uncomfortable, can we? Don't give them an F if they fail the class. It might make them feel uncomfortable. Oh, we have got to make sure that our students don't feel uncomfortable in any way. We should all give them A's. Give them A's. Hey, you know what? I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. Would you like a lounge chair? Would you? Is it homework level too much for you? Would you like me to do it for you, the homework for you? Oh, is it uncomfortable eating the school cafeteria food? Would you like a coffee delivered to you in the class? Because, hey, your comfort is what is necessary. Your comfort. That's right. We're going to teach the students. It's about them. It's about their comfort, about their needs, their desires. That's right. Let's breed and teach a bunch of narcissists. They get out into society. I want, I want, I want. I'm going to vote for the candidate who gives me the I want platform. I want free health care. I want free gas. I want free this. I want free phones. I want free. Give me. Yeah, we don't want to offend them. Make them uncomfortable. No, but if a Christian's in there and evolution's being shoved down his throat as a fact, does that make him uncomfortable? Makes me uncomfortable when I was in college and they were doing that. Yep. Oh, they'd say, so what? We don't care if your Christians are uncomfortable. Gosh, moronic idiocy from the secularists. Look at this. The students might feel uncomfortable or somehow threatened. Somehow, possibly, maybe, somehow, they might feel uncomfortable or threatened. It's possible. Maybe the color shirt the teacher's wearing might possibly threaten somebody. Because it might be a gang color used in some other state. Hey, your shirt color makes me uncomfortable. Can you take it off or go home, teacher, and get me a coffee on the way back? I don't want to feel uncomfortable by your opinion. Because I'm entitled. Buttheads. Sorry, I gotta say it. It's moronic idiocy. Liberals, wackos. Freedom of speech for everybody except the Christians. It just reminds me of, when are we going to start getting crosses embroidered on our jackets we've got to wear out in public? When are we going to have to start wearing crosses on our clothing to identify us? Just like the Jews did in Nazi Germany. You know how it started with the propaganda? The Nazi regime first started passing laws to get them power. The Nazis had someone to blame. Oh, I'll tell you, Christians are being blamed for all kinds of stuff. Bigotry, intolerance. They're being cited. They're being singled out. How long before the brown shirts say, we want you to start wearing crosses to identify yourselves? And how long before were shipped off to concentration camps? Let me tell you, folks, right now in America, there are concentration camps, internment camps ready. I don't know who they're for, but they are there. Go to the net, do searches. Go Google it. There are camps with coffins sitting there. What's going on? What are we Christians doing? Hiding in our churches with our stinking women pastors, stinking mealy-mouthed little shallow sermons about how you're supposed to feel comfortable, how things are supposed to be for you. You know, look, I do battle. I battle every day. I battle on the internet. I battle on websites, Pal Talk. I battle in emails. I'm constantly in the battle for the faith. I'm constantly battling for the faith. Seriously. I mean, it's what I do for a living, okay? I do it a lot. And I'm telling you, I know what's going on. The Christians are getting their butts kicked. Most Christians couldn't argue their way out of a wet paper heresy. Too many pastors are teaching heresy. You know, if I say stuff like I do, it's a big thing. Women pastors and elders, it's coming across the Christian landscape when the Bible says that's not to be. Why are they doing it? Because they don't care about the Word of God, at least that not that area. Oh, we see it differently. No, you see it wrong. Man, you're too judgmental. I'm not judgmental enough. That's what the Word says. You're not being judgmental. You're submitting the Word of God to your feelings, to your social pressures, whatever it is. Come on. Homosexuality is not an alternative lifestyle. We shouldn't have these stinking churches that have these national days of, hey, let's all get along with false antichrist religions and have people come into the pulpits, Muslims, reading the Quran in Christian pulpits on a Sunday morning, brainwashing people, getting them to think, hey, that's wonderful. Yeah, hey, let's get people in the church who preach antichrist theology, the stuff that damns people to hell. Let's get a pastor, woman pastor, at a United Methodist church and then have them improve that. Have it happen in the church. Yeah. Let's get more pastors in the pulpit who deny Jesus Christ as God in flesh, who deny he's the only way. The Bible's a suggestion book. It's not really the Word of God. It's a suggestion book. Slogans, wisdom, and we draw out of it what we think is good. Hey, it's a social club maker, too. Because you know what? Our loyalties are not to Christ. Our loyalties are to the pastor or the denomination. Over the weekend, in the chat room, we're talking to one guy. And in the CARM chat room, this guy goes to a liberal denomination, PCUSA, Presbyterian Church, United States of America. Liberal denomination, okay? You know, stuff like women pastors, elders, homosexuality is an alternative lifestyle, blah, blah, blah. And so this guy, he's a five-point Calvinist like I am. And he's talking about how the church he goes to is a PCUSA church. But the church doesn't necessarily, he didn't really tell us what the view was, support homosexuality. But I said, hey, and others in the room were saying to this guy, hey, look. Do you tithe to this church? Yes. Does the church give money to the denominational head? Because that's what the churches do in your denomination, give a little portion in. No, they're too poor to do it. So that makes it okay? So your church is too poor to send money? But if it were, had the money coming in, it would send money. Part of your tithe money would be going to support the homosexual movement, which is counter to Scripture. Why are you in a church like this? There were like four or five of us calling him on the carpet. Why are you doing this? Why are you supporting a church that is in a pro-homosexual denomination? Liberal. Why are you doing that? Oh, it's not an important issue. This was the kind of idiocy that we were arguing with this guy, and he would just give us lame answers. I don't believe it's this. I don't believe it that. Our church doesn't really send the money out, so it's okay. I said, you are supporting the denomination. You are supporting the pastor in that denomination, and the pastor knows what's going on, and he knows that that denomination approves his homosexuality, and yet he chooses to stay in it. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, the Bible says. A little bit of sin, yeah, you don't deal with it, it takes you over. You don't control sin, it controls you. Don't you know you're slaves of the one you present yourself to? The Bible says so. But you know what? It's a horrible thing. We are being assaulted from inside the church. It's ridiculous. Now, change topic a little bit, kind of get back to the homosexuality thing here, a little bit. Oh, on pedophilia. You won't believe this. But first, before I get to that, this is NRB, National Religious Broadcasting Network. Now, I had an offer from them to do a TV show, but I didn't have the facility, the time, or the technology to be able to do it. Now I do. Well, if I had one more person who would do the video editing and get everything done for me, I could probably contact them again and say, hey, I'm ready to do a show. But at any rate, they're a great group. Now, last December, the regional Ontario panel, I forgot where I got this from. I forgot to put the credit where it's due, but at any rate. The regional Ontario panel for the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council examined this guy's television show in Canada. Now, this is related to us. Hold on. Called Word TV, after receiving complaints that this guy's program, Dr. McVetti's program, included, quote, discriminatory comments on the basis of sexual orientation and religion. The CBSC panel determined that it was acceptable for him to air this objection to homosexual practices, but that he violated the human rights, religious programming, negative portrayal, and full, fair, and proper presentation clause of the Code of Ethics and Equitable Portrayal Code of the Canadian Association of Broadcasters. Okay, so that's Canada. So they're going to penalize the guy because, well, he has the right to say what he wants, but because of these other rules, he'll be penalized. These other things, you know, they could create a rule, a law, the Dignity Manifesto, you know, and have these laws, the Dignity Manifesto laws, okay? And you can just call it whatever you want, euphemism, you know. And then in there, no person shall be deprived of the right to feel comfortable by listening to the radio while he's driving on the freeway on a channel. He can just turn if he doesn't like what is being said, but if he accidentally hears what might make him feel uncomfortable when a religious broadcaster says homosexuality is a sin, he might feel uncomfortable. Therefore, that's not allowed. See, you think that's ridiculous? Oh, well, it is when I say it like that. But that's not how liberals talk. They do it with far more, you know, clever speech as they do this kind of idiocy. What do the Christians do? I'm going to tie to the liberal churches. I'm not going to go to the good churches that deny this stuff and stand up against it. Yeah. Supportcarm.org? No, I got coffee. I need to have coffee instead. Yeah. It's a well-known fact that Christian broadcasters in the U.S. must create a second tier of content when they broadcast programs in Canada. Get this. The Christian ministries here, if they're going to broadcast in Canada, have to produce a second tier of content, thanks in large part to the pervasive shroud of censorship exercised by the Canadian government. Let's see. The result is that Christian broadcasters in Canada are now being sanctioned for having a, quote, hateful tone, unquote, on the airwaves. This is the same warning bell that NRB has been ringing for several years. When you combine the hate speech regulations already in force here in the United States with the localism governing boards that the FCC has already suggested, you could see overt censorship in the near future. Now, you know, I do the radio thing, but doing this for 5.5 years, okay? And we've had conversations every now and then here about the regulations and the rules that are coming in and that they may have to. If I speak against homosexuality, they have to have a pro-homosexual position coming in. They have to do that. They want equality. Yeah, equality. Yeah, right. But when we have a secular station saying something in the slightest negative about Christianity, are they going to give us free time? Nah. But they want free time given to them. It's ridiculous idiocy that's going on. I'm telling you. That's it. Now, we get a caller. I'm going to get to the caller, but let me tell you, after the caller, I want to read. Where's my notes? Read. Where is it? What? On the pedophilia thing. Okay. I'm going to read some stuff about the pedophilia and how it's going to be starting. You won't believe what's going to happen. You won't believe what they're trying to do now. All right, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Scott from Pennsylvania. Scott, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, so I'm trying to explain, Reformed theology to my friend, and he seems to think Revelations 2:5 doesn't coincide with eternal security. So what would your answer be to that?
Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, do the deeds did it first, lest I'm going to take you and remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. He's talking to the church as a whole. The lampstand, the church, at that location. Where does it say any individual there loses their salvation? It doesn't. What he's doing...
I responded that it doesn't really say that. It doesn't talk about salvation.
Right.
But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just talking about the Spirit of God moving and blessing that church. And God can actually move away and stop blessing a church and a group. He could do that very easily. A Christian could be in sin, and God could remove his blessing from them, that person, and they can be judged. 1 Corinthians 15, or 1 Corinthians 5 talks about that. So,
okay.
You know, it's not a verse that in any way affects the doctrine of eternal security. But look, you got to go to 1 John 2:19. I mean, that is a solid eternal security verse. If they had been of us, they would have remained.
Well, I did bring that one up, too, and he said that his opinion on that was that they, from the beginning, wanted to make people stumble because they knew that they were Antichrist and they just crept in like wolf in sheep's clothing.
Okay, no problem. Fine. What he's saying is they never were saved, right? I go, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And what does John say? They went out from us because they never were of us. But if they had been of us, these people who left, if they really were of us,
right,
they would have remained. You would have remained.
Right.
Now, see, so just take what he's saying, work with it, go, yep, now what does the text actually say? But also, you know, I hope you did this. You say to the guy, okay, so you can lose your salvation. What good things have you got to do to keep it? Are you being good enough to keep it?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I did bring that up too, and he's like, well, yeah, we got to. I asked him about maintaining a salvation. He's like, yeah, we gotta do that. We gotta, what's another verse that he brought up? I forget the reference. Was it First Timothy 2? No, something about perseverance.
Well, yeah, people are supposed to persevere, but see, those verses, when Paul's talking generically to the church, you must to make sure you're in the faith. You must persevere to the end. You must do this. He's talking to the church. But we talk about individuals. For example, Rufus in Romans 16:13, he is an elect person, a chosen person, chosen in Christ. Or Paul, I think it's in Romans 9:13 or 15, I forgot which. He's chosen, elected by God. Individuals are elected. So this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Sorry, but he doesn't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what my question was. Do you have time for another one?
Sure.
Well, yeah, I know you, I personally feel the same way, but as far as women preaching, but then I know that the Bible speaks against it, but how far, is it just limited to she can't preach, or is it, I mean, addressing the whole assembly, or what would your, how far does it go?
Well, that's a difficult part, because what the liberals are going to want to do is find some place where they can say, oh, you're not being consistent perfectly, therefore your whole position's wrong. And they're not thinking. What we need to do, what I like to do, is I work with the both ends of the spectrum and then move in towards the middle. And so the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:12-13 that a woman is not to teach or exercise authority over a man, but remain silent, for Adam was first created. It's a created order thing, has nothing to do with culture. That's the way it is.
Right.
And Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 says that the elders to be the husband of one wife, having children who believe. Literally in the Greek, it's mias gunaikos on air, which is one woman man. He's the elders to be a man of one woman. And
yeah.
Man there on there is translated in different ways throughout the scriptures. The context, you know, because the next verse says children. Well, does that mean that he has to be married? Well, he should be, but the idea is one woman man, because people were assumed to be married and stuff. But what if it's a married man who only has one child? That he can't be an elder because it says have children who believe. So, you know, you don't play too many games here, but the thing is, it's a man of one woman, and the elder is a pastor. Excuse me, the pastor is an elder, and so therefore that's just not a position for a woman. So that's on one side of the scale. No way. They're not to be pastors or not to be elders. That's what the scriptures teach. They're not to be in any teaching, exercise right. authority over men. And it's in the church because, like I said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority. The next chapter, Paul says he's giving instruction in that this is how to behave and conduct yourselves in the household of God, the church. That's chapter 3,
well,
verse 15.
So, like if... I mean, a church like has a sharing time or something where people can give testimony.
Well, let's
and
talk
a
about
woman
that.
Is giving.
Let's talk about
yeah,
that.
A woman is giving.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Well, and it like moves from what she's learned in her personal life and kind of teaches, not really from the pulpit, but I mean, if they pass a mic around or something, I mean, wouldn't that also be
well,
teaching?
This is,
or
this is more towards that center of the gray area. Because
okay.
if she, you know, if I were a pastor of a church and we're going to have a testimony day where people could get up and speak about the Lord, which is fine with me. If a woman
right.
got up and said, this is, you know, she say it is a woman who went through a great struggle and just give glory to God. She wants to tell the church. I have no problem with that. To come up to the pulpit. Hold on. Come up to the pulpit. And just give your testimony of what the Lord did. You know, maybe the loss of a child, got a sickness, financial, whatever it is, and how the Lord was so faithful and that what she did was she prayed, she trusted the Lord. Praise God. No problem. She's not preaching and teaching in the authoritative context because that's what's really going on in 1 Timothy chapter 2. The issue is specific teaching and instruction, which is a positional thing meant for men, where they did the teaching. This is how the spiritual things are supposed to be. It's like them setting things in order on purpose because that's their calling. Now,
right.
if a woman's doing...
Expounding upon Scripture.
What's that?
Expounding upon Scripture.
Yeah, in a declarative... In a declarative or authoritative sense. So this woman is up there and she says, well, just like it says in whatever verse, if you trust in the Lord, you know, he'll lift you up. Well, that's what I did. She's not... expounding and exegeting and teaching authoritatively, she's just is using the word of God appropriately in a testimonial about what's yeah, no problem.
How about like in radio shows now? I notice that there's starting to be a lot of co-hosts, even with like Christian programs. There's like a man and a woman co-host, and then kind of gets like in the yeah middle between the two, like what they're,
mm-hmm.
or even a woman who does. Is broadcast on the radio and she is in a teaching role.
Well, that would be unbiblical.
Well, it wouldn't really necessarily be in the church.
Well, here's the thing. They didn't have radio and internet back then. The what is supposed to happen, what they're wanting to happen is, hold on one sec. In that context, what's going on is that the men are the ones who are supposed to be doing the preaching and the teaching. They're the ones who are supposed mm-hmm. to be doing the work. They're the ones supposed to be doing this stuff. It's their job. Now, can a woman have a radio show where she's counseling people and maybe using the word, applying the word? Okay. You know, all right. Okay. But what if she is a Bible teacher? And her job is to expound and teach from the scriptures. Well, that's not her position.
Right. Just, if she kind of have a radio show where she counsels other women,
mm-hmm.
Then that would kind of be okay. But then if she moves into instructional yeah, from the Bible,
right.
well, I mean, no, she still would use the Bible, but not.
Right.
Not that wouldn't be the main focus.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Women have got to learn how to be self-regulated as well. Because
right.
the women who are doing this and the men who support them do not understand the issue of federal headship. They have no
right.
clue what that is and how utterly important it is to our salvation. They
well,
don't know what it is. They're ignorant, and they're ignorant teachers of ignorance. And they're promoting this stuff. They need to stop. The church and denominations.
Itching ears.
Yeah, absolutely.
Itching ears.
Oh, yeah. I'm a hard teacher when it comes to this stuff. I don't have any compromise about this. I'm sorry, but men, step up to the plate. Women, get off of it. Men,
well, yeah,
you do your
it,
job.
I mean, you can see it in the culture, just what you were speaking about right before I got on. I mean, homosexuality is just the pushing of the agenda of women being in authority and men being, effeminate and then being attracted to each other. Instead of the way God made it, just like it talks about in Romans.
That's right. And it's
so, yeah, I mean, it is kind of all connected, the whole woman being in leadership and men being mamby-pamby, as you say.
Yeah, that's right. Mamby-pamby theology, mamby-pamby men. You know, I watch these commercials, progressive commercials, and I watch. I don't see any masculine men. I see guys dressed in soft colors. You know, it's like, what's going on? It's like the subtlety. There's so much subtlety. I watch, you know, sitcoms here every now and then, and, you know, sitcoms are ridiculous. But, you know, men are just too often portrayed as morons, as dweebs, as weaklings. Okay, you know, I mean, I don't mind being laughed at and having guys make fun of themselves. Yeah, that's okay. But
yeah, I mean, you're geeky yourself, right?
You better believe it. And I get laughed at. And I have no problem with that. But the thing is that it's just, it's pervasive. And, you know, we have a French foreign exchange student. We had a Japanese foreign exchange student. She left, and we have a French one now. And so we've got, and both of them are 17. They're both young girls. Rena, she went back to Japan, and we have Justine. She's here in with us now. Been here a couple of weeks, and you know, her English is pretty good. My wife speaks French, and everything goes fine. Okay, well, anyway, we've been talking about the various things. This happened with both girls, Rena and Justine. We're talking about what the boys are like in their cultures. They're the boys their age, and both of them have stated in France and Japan, it's not uncommon at all for guys to spend a lot of time in front of the mirror primping and being concerned with how they look and their hairstyles are taking on a more feminine look, and their dress is more feminine, and their, their clothing, they're more concerned, very much more concerned with their appearance, their nails, earrings.
Well, they spend half an hour in front of the mirror trying to make their hair look like they didn't do anything to it. You know, that look or whatever, the Justin Bieber kind of thing.
And I'm not saying, I'm not saying, anybody dresses like that's bad or wrong, but it's like, wait a minute. You know, why is it becoming so pervasive that the young men are now being, what essentially amounts to being feminized?
Yeah. Well, you know, I caught and asked about 1 Corinthians 11:14, I think, about the man having long hair or whatever. And if you look at that word in the Greek and trace it back, it's not really used in context anywhere else besides 1 Corinthians 11, but if you trace it back, it's back to a verb that means to tend for. So, I mean, kind of the idea is that if a man has hair that he tends to, I mean, not completely, the whole, I mean, not that it's wrong, it's a shame to him, but, I mean, the kind of the idea is there that if a man spends too much time, but if a woman spends time with her hair, it's her glory. I mean,
I wonder. You know, women just, I mean, they look better than guys.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a gimme.
Well, another thing, talking about TV and culture and everything, I heard you were going to mention something about pedophilia.
Yep, next.
But MTV, I don't know, this is what the top, or they have that, ever hear of the TV show Skins?
No.
It's like MTV, it's rated for, or it's like targeted supposedly at children younger than 18, and they had like a 17-year-old streaking. You could only see the posterior, but then they were that's basically child porn. So they I guess were, whoever regulates TV was getting after them for that.
You had to see that. You know, I've watched some of these shows every now and then. I'll go and watch the what the young people are watching. And the videos are full of sex. Women are objects. Men seem to just want women and money and possessions. This is what's promoted. Violence is promoted. And parents don't realize the kids are being extremely influenced by these things.
Mm.
we Christians are going to be in a lot of trouble. I have a friend in Portland who says that in Burmese, he says the government right now is killing Christians, and that they have refugees. It's not even, I haven't even heard anything about it till he told me today, that people in, they're trying to give money to. Trying to get money to help these people because they're Christians. The government itself was killing them. He said half their family had been murdered and they were able to escape. It's just other countries. Christians are being persecuted, and people say, "Oh, it won't happen in America." Well, you know why it won't? They say that, but they don't get it. They just don't get it. Christians don't get it. They better start looking at the Word. They better start praying hard. They better start tithing and supporting good ministries. Better get out of these churches that are liberal. And the only way to know what's liberal is to know what the Word of God says. And that means you got to start believing it for a change and start studying it. So somebody else gives you milk and baby feed you and burp you afterwards in a sermon. And you go home and that's all you do. That kind of a thing's got to stop. The Christians have got to start getting out there, pick up our cross and follow Christ. It's not easy. It's difficult. That's what we got to do.
I'm only 24, but I said my retirement plan was to have enough money to buy a ticket to a Muslim country and preach the word until they shut me up.
Until they kill you.
But the way the world's going, I probably won't even have to leave America to do that.
Right. Yep. The way it's going, I'm a doomsdayer. You know, I'm a doomsdayer. Oh, man, you're just, you know, negative. No, hey. I am.
What did you ever? Did you ever read Revelations? That's kind of how the place ends. It's kind of negative.
Yep, Christians get it. Here's the thing.
Depending on your view.
Yeah. Well, the pre-tribulation view, which I heard a pastor just arrogantly on the radio recently saying, you know, pre-tribulation was the true position, and that's what it really is. And those who don't really believe it, don't really look at God's word right. I'm like, don't do stuff like that. You know, it's like you can disagree, and that's fine, but to say these condescending things about the other position. But at any rate, the pre-trib rapture thing is potentially very dangerous. Because I'm not saying it's not true, because I don't believe it, but hey, maybe I hope they're right. But I don't go around saying if you believe in pre-trib rapture, you're an idiot. I would never do that, because I don't believe that. But it's very comfortable to have that position in a Christian church, because it's more of the American, give me what I need, what I want, comfortable situation. I'm not going to have to go through all the pain and delivery, so why worry about it? Because I'll be raptured out of here anyway. This kind of escapist mentality helps deaden the intellect of the Christian.
Yeah. Well, I heard that was only invented by messianic preachers like 150 to 200 years ago.
It's
pre-trib theology.
Yeah, it's I've got some good, very good arguments against pre-trib rapture. I've only done it once in the 5 years I've been on, but I could do a eschatology study and put that to rest pretty easily.
One person I spoke with said that, Moses was taken out of, Noah was taken out and Lot was taken out.
No, he wasn't. No, they weren't. Noah went through the flood. He was protected in it. He had to experience
it.
And Lot, it wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah that were destroyed. It was all kinds of area around them. They were through. They were inside of it. They were preserved in it.
It went on around them. Okay. Well, thanks for the chat. I'll let you get back to your topic there.
Okay. Thanks a lot, man.
Good night.
Good night. Okay. Hey, folks, look, I got 10 minutes. I'm going to get this pedophilia thing right now. Now, I've been telling you, this homosexuality thing is a bad thing, because what it does, and I've been saying this now for years, what it's going to do when the homosexuality thing gets, marriage is out there, it redefines marriage. It's redefining sexuality in the process. What's going to happen, I said, is pedophilia will then become something that will be promoted and or discussed and redefined, et cetera, et cetera. And then the idea is to push it towards normality. Now, check this out. This is from a website called Before You Act. Okay? I'm not going to give the URL too much, but that's what you want to go research. You can figure it out. And on their website, this group holds scientific symposium on pedophilia and the DSM. today in Baltimore, is what the thing said, August 17th. They brought together a range of clinicians, researchers, academics, and minor attracted persons to discuss key issues regarding the entry for pedophilia. Minor attracted, M-I-N-O-R, hyphen, attracted persons. Not pedophilias, they're minor attracted. They're attracted to minors. They're called minor attracted persons. Okay? Now they're redefining. This is what happens. I've told people before. What the liberals do is use different terms. If they can get you to use their terms, they've got half the battle won. They're using minor attracted persons. That's doesn't have any negativity, really, as pedophilia does, which has negative connotations. They've got to change the negative connotation words and use something different, something neutral. Minor attracted persons. You get a minor attracted person in my neighborhood, I'll be watching them like a hawk. I'll be talking to them, buddy. I tell you what, if anything ever happens in any way, I'm coming to see you. The purpose of the meeting was to promote a more comprehensive and accurate DSM. Now, that's the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders of the American Psychiatric Association. Now, the foundation of the symposium said that DSM should be based on accurate information about people in the general population. It should be sensitive to the needs of clinicians and their patients. It goes on. Now, let's see. Got a little paragraph down here. Speakers addressed a diverse range of crucial issues related to the DSM, and discussion was lively. Keynote speaker Dr. Fred Berlin of the Johns Hopkins University provided a conceptual overview of pedophilia from a psychiatric viewpoint and argued in favor of acceptance of and compassion for people who are attracted to minors, while at the same time rejecting the adult minor sexual activity. Now, see, let me tell you, this is what has to happen. First, because this is such a very volatile topic, because it's emotionally laden, what they're going to do, this is what has to be done in order for this to work. They have to be very careful how they word things. They have to introduce new terms and get the new terms accepted and be used as a means of dialogue. So instead of marriage, or excuse me, husband or wife, it's partner. Instead of pedophilia, it's minor attracted person. This is one of the first steps that has to be done in order to get people to have a shift in their understanding of a moral truth. That's what has to happen. Now, they can't come out and say they just wanted to prove it, because that would cause a backlash. What you have to do psychologically is get the topic simply talked about in a new way. It needs to be pervasive. It needs to be sufficient enough so that people are deadened to the sensitivity issue of the connotation. A connotation is the hidden meaning of a word. So, mother is a female adult who's born children. That's rather cold, isn't it? But mother is, well, mom. You know, she's there to take care of you, love you, no matter what. Mom. That's a connotation. So what they're trying to do is strip the negative connotations and use something that's neutral. And in the new neutral term, they're the ones who can determine what the denotation and the connotation really are. All right, that's what's going to happen. By doing this and getting it to be pervasive in the discussions, then they can help control how the topic will be talked about so that they can control how it's received as well. This is what happens in liberal circles. It happens with homosexuality. It's going to happen with pedophilia. Now, people said, homosexuality, well, that's not the same thing. It's redefinition of sexual relationships. That's what homosexuality is when they get into the issue of marriage. By redefining what marriage is, they also are declaring what the true nature of sexuality really is. They're redefining it, and in so doing, they're redefining other areas and opening the door up for other things to be addressed and attacked. and change in society. And then those like myself and others who fight against it are labeled as bigots, unenlightened. I'm telling you, this is how it works, folks. Okay? You heard it first right here on CARM on Faith and Reason Radio. Let's get to Bill from Meridian.
Oh, hi, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, when I heard you mentioning the subject of pedophilia on the phone, reminded me of the so-called gay marriage pressure. And Obama wants that to include all full rights to adoption. Well,
yeah.
Giving babies to homosexuals mm-hmm. makes you wonder which is worse, abortion or that.
Yeah.
In terms of pedophilia, that is sick.
Yep.
Yep. Sad what's happening in that regard.
It is. We have liberals in our offices, and they will be controlling what laws are going to be passed, and that's going to quench or silence prior restraint, silence what the Christians are able to speak about either on
right.
the air
right.
or on the internet and other areas.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's where these hate crime mm-hmm. speech laws is a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to stop that, where even the UN is trying to put through something with like 60 Islamic countries in the UN, and we have one vote, they got 60. Pretty tough to try to stop that.
Yeah, there's talk about that where they want to stop anything negative being said about Islam.
Right, exactly.
Right. Uh-huh.
And gosh, almost ever since the United Nations was formed, people don't realize that one of the genocide, parts of the genocide law of the UN is like John 14:6, this would be considered genocidal where you say only Jesus is right, the others are
uh-huh.
wrong.
Yeah, we are in trouble. The
yep.
Christians are in trouble. I've been warning them. I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
And people may not want to hear it, but there are things we can do.
Yeah, you mentioned something about United Methodists a minute ago, mm-hmm. and of course I remember that in 1908, not that I'm quite that old, mm-hmm. Anyway, in 1908 the Methodist Church started the Methodist Federation for Social Action
mm-hmm.
and then brought in many, many others into that blanket like Presbyterians, United Church of Christ, etc.
Was it Singer? I think it was Singer.
And of course they're very... replacement theology
yep.
and anti-Israel, and so now
yeah.
Presbyterian churches are having all sorts of
problems.
Vigorous boycotting campaigns against Israel. And
right. Well, we need to keep, yeah. God said bless. He'll bless those who bless Israel.
Yeah.
Hey, music's going. I got to go, buddy.
Oh, I know. It's late. Thank you. Appreciate
all right.
It.
All right. God
Bye.
Bless. Hey, folks, we're out of time, and if you want to listen more of this, we'll be on tomorrow. I will not be in the studio Thursday and Friday, going to New York. Should be back in the studio maybe Tuesday. It all depends what time I fly back in. And we'll see what happens. So God bless everybody. Pray for this country. God bless. Bye.
This has been Faith and Reason with Matt Slick. For more, go to carm.org. That's carm.org.